This is Stephen Strang. Our founding fathers had an intent and purpose in the founding of this country. It was for liberty and freedom and things like this. And as times have passed, we have gotten away from that. And sometimes there are competing intents and purposes, especially with the divides in our country. And we're going to hear more about it today. This is important, so stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone. We are very aware of the divide between left and right and between people that I believe are standing with, you know, what America really stands for and ones that are trying to pull us in very, very different directions. I'm working on a book on this, and I interviewed Mark Nuttall, and he was on my podcast recently, and we talked about immigration. And one of the other things that I picked up from one of his Nuttall Report newsletters, which you'll hear how you can subscribe to it, was about the intent and purpose of our founding fathers. And I thought it would be something interesting to talk about. It's maybe a little egg-heady for some things, but hey, this will help you stretch. And also, Mark breaks it down in a very understandable way that I think you'll enjoy in this episode of the Strang Report. So explain to me exactly what you mean by competing intents of purpose.
The founding of the United States in 1776 was revolutionary in more ways upon which some people reflect. The intent and purpose of the founding fathers was to establish a government on the earth that, as Abe Lincoln would call later, other people by the people for the people, but this intent of the government's purpose was to facilitate liberty and freedom for the person to prosper in his or her pursuit of happiness based upon the divine purpose that God had for them. Rights come from God, purpose comes from God. And the government has no other purpose. Government was not to get in between an individual's pursuit of happiness, their right to labor, whatever job they want to create, and so on and so forth. There were two things that came from that that is not often emphasized. One, the United States was the first country in the history of the world to establish the fact that birth is not destiny. How you're born does not matter. There's no station in life. It shouldn't have mattered on your skin color, and we may have missed that and still need to rectify that, and that all are free. Second is that your pursuit of happiness was yours, and it did not require any permission from the government. And we are the only country in the world. There are a couple of get close, Great Britain and Australia, that you are certain things you can do. I mean, that you can do anything you want to do as long as it's not against the law. But both of those countries started either as a colony or from a king, where the king owned everything, and you had to have his permission before you did anything because he had to decide whether it was in his best interest or not. Okay, that was the intent and purpose. The opposing intent and purpose, since the beginning of time, that still exists in the world today and challenges us, is the natural inclination that we are of this system of things. There is no higher calling, but then a cold, atheistic, natural order, probably started by some inorganic matter that had nothing to do with morality. And therefore, all inherent wisdom is in man himself, as he, in fact, evolves in his own intellect. And therefore, you need the state to guide you. You need the state to control you. You need the state's permission, because only the state knows what's best for everyone. Now, you've asked me in a former podcast, why does the national press, certain members of Congress, just continue to either ignore the obvious about immigration or health care or deficits or socialism, which have never worked in recorded history the way they want to pursue it? Yet we're still supposed to believe that somehow they can do it better, even though it's never been done right before, never worked before, is only because they do not want, in my opinion, to ever yield to a higher authority. It challenges the superiority of their own intellect. And therefore, government is God, because it is the answer to all solutions. If the deadly sin of pride is a sin, then collectively we eliminate it because in our joint wisdom we are superior. But to admit that the individual, in his or her pursuit of happiness and driven by a godly purpose, in an orderly society designed by God, works to the best means of all society means you don't need government except to facilitate that premise. And in that, you have competing intents of purpose. And so what is it that the progressives want, particularly in this great country, where 80% are doing just fine, 90% are employed, 80% have the health care they want. They enjoy their freedom and their freedom of religion. They like being able to decide for themselves and their families, and it's worked just fine for 243 years, yet it's just awful to them.
You make the point in the Nuttall Report. First of all, you quote a column by George Will, who kind of agrees with you.
Yeah.
You're talking about the policies that the 20 Democrats who are running for president are putting forth. And here's something you said, that the national press would have us believe that literally everything is wrong about America. It's as if they believe no good comes from anything independent of government or outside the control of liberals.
Right.
You know, I think that's something that's very insightful. And how are we going to combat that? And how are we going to change that? Or is this just the inevitable drift of how things are going, considering what's happened the last 50 years?
Well, I'm going to just be absolutely spontaneous in my response. I've come across a book, Steve, that you might find interesting. I haven't received my copy yet. I read it in somebody else's library. It's written in 1967 by just two historians. And the title of the book is The Invention of American Political Parties. So I picked it up, read the first chapter, and they trace the invention of political parties, or the beginning of political parties, to 795 in England, when the monks chronicled for Alfred the Great what he was doing wrong in God's eyes for a righteous government. It's called the Chronicles of the Anglo-Saxons, and it was the first political party. And my point is that the body of Christ, adding morality to government services, is what has always been the course correction. It's the foundation of our country. It's the foundation of the Declaration of Independence. It is the basis for our Constitution, that there are laws ordained by God to govern men for their best interest. Government is here to serve us, not the other way around. Okay, so what do you do? What do you do about this? Well, first, you have to know what your intent and purpose is of your country. In France, it's different than it is in the United States. French people are good people, but they're not worried about how much control government has, and small businesses do not flourish there, and family-owned businesses do not flourish there. So what is the ultimate goal of society and government and its relationship with government? There have also been seven, in my opinion, examples of government in relationship with God throughout the timeline of history that were in on this timeline. There were civilizations that totally controlled the center of the universe of the world, known world at that time. It starts with ancient Israel, Egypt, Greece, Rome, the Holy Roman Empire, Europe, and the United States. And in each one of those, you learned something good about government, because God has a purpose for government, and I believe that there will be government structure in heaven. But you also learn something that was absolutely unacceptable in the relationship, and that each time that civilization did something they shouldn't have done, and they lost their center of the universe authority. And more times than not, it was abandoning God and his principles. So that's another basic podcast about those seven relationships. What I'm trying to say is that we're given the tools we need in the Bible on what our relationship is. First, family is the moral authority. The city is the political authority. States are made up of cities. Nations are made up of states. And it's there in that central moral authority of the family that a country has to respect. And if they do not respect the family unit for moral authority, they fail as a nation. And we're failing. We're not respecting that. And then when I get back to the general question of intent and purpose, is your intent and purpose to support the family and family values and that center of control, or is it something else? And certainly communism is something else. And socialism is something else. You know, as you know, I've worked in China. I can tell you that's a different culture, But that government, a communist government, an atheistic communist government, is not advancing the principles that make that society happy. So what do? Well, you have to know what your intent and purpose is. What do you believe? I mean, do you believe that God created the universe? If not, you believe that great uncaused cause is gravity? Well, where did it come from? And what does that mean? Where do you want to take it? And look at the examples of history of what's worked and what hasn't worked. You certainly can't deny the success of the United States of America. And that's what's so maddening to me about the national press and progressives who want to pursue programs that have never worked in 6,000 years of recorded history to throw out everything that's worked in the United States. And if it wasn't for the United States today, the world would be a very, very dark place, by the way. If it wasn't for our economy, half the world couldn't survive. We consume 50% of everything the world makes. If it wasn't for our military, there'd be wars all over the world and skirmishes and all sorts of tragedy. And if it wasn't for the dollar being the currency of the world, even though I think we're mismanaging a little bit by deficit spending, still, it's the world's currency. And a lot of other countries that have terrible economies survive because there's a currency they can depend upon. Yeah, there are other things that we've done. Now, my point is, how can you ignore that and then build on that and look at the foundations of our country? Where did it come from? This did not happen by accident, Steve. This was ordained. It is endemic in our DNA. It is there. It's who we are as a people. And to ignore it is literally blasphemy.
I agree with you. It's in our DNA. Yet who would have thought, you know, earlier in my life and my career, I would have never thought that socialism would be touted as it is now, even though in the 60s, when I was just coming of age, in the anti-Vietnam era, you know, there was a lot of turmoil over civil rights and other issues. We saw socialism, even communist radicals rioting at the Democratic National Convention in 1968, and a lot of other things. You know, that was kind of the genesis, at least from my perspective of this. Although I guess if we look at it, really, this progressivism goes all the way back to Woodrow Wilson and certainly in the 20s and 30s before World War II. But certainly in the last 50 years, it seems to have gotten more and more and more. Yet, as bad as it is, as you were talking, I was just thinking how I got to know you around maybe 2006, you know, a year or two before Obama got in. You were sounding the alarm then and beating the drum that if we go in this direction, it's going to get worse and worse. A lot of the things that happened under Obama, you were predicting it happened. Yeah. And just as it was getting worse and worse, Donald Trump comes along, and you can say what you want about Donald Trump, but at least he has disrupted a lot of this stuff. And in my opinion, it's one of the reasons why people are so unhappy with him. Do you think that there's hope for America? Are we pivoting? Maybe the jury is out on what's going to happen. Or is it just inevitable that the left is going to take over and things are going to get worse and worse and worse? And all we can do is just hope that if anything, Donald Trump and others, I mean, there's other things going on, slow it down.
I am optimistic for this reason. I believe in the inherent instincts of mankind that freedom and liberty and the right to manage the own affairs of your family are so prevalent in our motivation that we won't give it up in the end to socialism and government control. I think that people know that what Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders speak makes no sense. Yet they need help in expressing it. They need to know that they are part of a credible movement. Now, I'll do this in just 60 seconds, but I do write about leadership a little bit too, Steve. And one of the things is that 80% are designed to follow and 20% are designed to lead. It's in your biblical DNA. It's biblical by God's premise. And the 80% have nothing to do with intelligence, gender, ethnicity, culture, education. I know electricians and plumbers that I look to for philosophical direction and doctors who can't find the front door without their secretary. You go to the doctor to get operated on. They're very good at what they do. They're not leaders. It has nothing to do with anything other than just you got it or you don't. The 20% is always split 10-10. 10 for an issue and 10 against it. Pick the issue. Deficits, abortion, family values, foreign policy, pick an issue. And not only is it split 10-10, The leaders on both sides are equally articulate, equally persuasive. Only one speaks truth and one speaks falsehood. And I believe that's because of the doctrine of free will. The Lord gave us free will before original sin entered the world. And we still have it. And the reason that we have it is to choose Him when the truth is clear. Because you want followers and friends who love you for what you represent, not what you dictate. He could just make it mandatory. And you'd do it to survive, like the fear of the Greek gods or the Roman gods or something. Now, the obligation is that people have to pick up their mantle, whatever it is, and lead on truth and stand on it. And then truth will carry itself. You don't have to drag it. You don't have to lift it up in a weight that you can't lift. You just speak into it, and it becomes buoyant and pervasive. It carries its own penetration. That's what's required. And then it's up to the 80% that follow. That's why they're called sheep. Sheep are in a pasture. They see fear. They don't run. That's why you need a shepherd. That's what that's all about. And the 20% that are called to lead and the 10% who are righteous, that's what it takes. And then the sheep will listen. They don't defend themselves, but they have an antenna, an eternal antenna designed by God to hear His voice through those leaders. And when you speak truth, practical, applicable truth, they will grab it, follow it, and hold on to it. And we'll make it as a society. It is not obvious. It is not ordained. And I believe it's going to happen. Now, I believe Donald Trump was placed as president of the United States. Lance Wallnau calls him the chaos president. I call him the great unraveler. He is unraveling the bounds that have bound us as a society through government control and intelligentsia and the national press. In other words, telling everybody, the sheep, that you have to do this a certain way or you're not socially acceptable. You somehow are intolerant to the next wave of what the intelligentsia would tell you is the social thing to do. And he is unraveling all that. But he can't fix it. He can only loosen the bounds for the leadership of righteous motivation to enter into the cracks and then hold their own. And that's all it takes. I feel good about it, Steve. I think the more they attack you, now I do wish that his tweets weren't some as they were. I wish he didn't overstate it. You know, it's the last Nutt report. I talked about the fact you should call these women communists. They don't even know what that term means. They don't even know what they're talking about. They're young women, in my opinion, that have no knowledge of economic theory or what works or what doesn't work or what damage they'll do if they were able to pass the socialistic policies they want. We should be more concerned about what they don't know and just tell them that. It's easy to point out what they don't understand rather than calling them names. And then when you point out what they don't understand, the truth becomes buoyant, penetrates the psyche, and everybody goes, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Why don't they say it that way? You don't have to attack them personally. But Donald Trump and his personality is probably what exactly we needed. Because those bounds in Washington, D.C., Steve, and in New York City, they are so tight. And those who speak falsehoods don't want them unbound because they get everybody locked down.
Well, you've given us a lot to think about. And like I said, we could talk for a long time. Now, when you were on my podcast before, I encourage people to subscribe to the Nuttall Report, as I do. When it comes in my in-tray, I always take time to stop and read it. First of all, they're interesting, and they shed so much light on things. So I know that people can go to your website, marknuttall.com, and Mark is MarkNuttle.com, and then I guess they can navigate to where to subscribe. Is that right?
Yep, it'll just pop up, and just give us an email address, and we'll start sending it to you.
That's great. And I want to just thank you for taking time to talk to me. I want to thank you for standing strong as you do. You are very influential, mostly behind the scenes, but through the Nuttall Report and other ways, there are platforms that you have. You're beginning to influence a lot of people. You've written some books, at least one of which I had the privilege of publishing a number of years ago. And I feel we need more Mark Nuttalls out there. We need you helping people to understand. And I'm encouraged that you believe that some of these things are sort of innate. that people sort of get. And that's my theory about Donald Trump. Even though he kind of breaks all the rules, people sort of innately knew that it was necessary for someone like him to stand up to all this. And, you know, the political correctness has just run amok. And that's just a symptom of a bigger problem. In fact, we were laughing at the office that the city of San Francisco has instructed its employees not to use the word homeless anymore. Instead, they have to say urban campers. Now, isn't that ridiculous?
No, I hadn't heard that.
Oh, and they can't, in the city of Berkeley, right across the bay, they can no longer use the term manhole. It's got to be a maintenance covering or something like that. And manhole has nothing to do with gender. It's just a name that came. And I heard someone talking about it, and they said, how many women go down in those holes? Like, none. It's always, it's always men that go down there to fix whatever's underneath the street. I mean, even with women's rights and everything else, there aren't too many people on oil rigs and coal mines, you know, that aren't the male gender. So, you know, we laugh about it, but there is this political correctness, and it's tied into what you said. The elites want to tell us what to think, and that we're just terrible, terrible, terrible people if we don't go along with it. But yet America was built on independence and the fact that we know for our lives better than what the government knows for us. And so you stand strong and keeping the message out there. And I'll give you the last word.
The last word is just to have faith in your purpose. Know that you are special. You're not here by accident. There is an order to the universe that was created by a loving, caring God. It is not a cold, dark universe with an outcome yet to be determined. It has been determined, and it is in our best interest that God has in store for us. Just have faith in it, act on it, believe in it, and follow it.
And with that, we'll wrap it up. Thank you again, Mark Nuttall, for being on my Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. Thank you for listening to the Strang Report. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you'll tune in again. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you. This is Stephen Strang. I want to introduce my listeners to Charisma Magazine if you don't already get it. Or if you do get it, you could respond to this special offer and we will continue your subscription into the future. The offer is to give you both of my books on Donald Trump, God and Donald Trump, and the new one, Trump Aftershock. These are a value of just less than $50, plus 2 years of Charisma, which cost around $40, and you can get the whole thing for only $39. Now let me repeat, you get both of my best-selling books and 2 years of Charisma for only $39, and all you have to do is go to this site, trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I hope you'll take advantage of this offer. Even if you have read the books, you know, it's always nice to have a new book, especially one signed by the author. It makes a good birthday present. Later in the year, it'll make a good Christmas present. And I hope that you'll take advantage of it because it's a good offer and it's my way to try to connect you with Charisma and also get more copies of my book out there. I'll repeat it, but the good thing about a podcast is you can back it up and listen to it again. It's trumpbooks.charismamag.com.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.